Gemara Masechta Yuma, that's Laman Heyom Beis, teaches us. Tana Rabbanan, Ani Ba'asha V'Rosha, Ba'in Ladin. Ani, an Asha and a Rosha, a poor person, a wealthy person and a Rosha, will have to give Din B'Cheshbon, as we all do, in the Bezdin Shemala after we leave the world. And the question that's going to be asked of them is, why didn't you learn Torah? And as the Shalah introduces this Gemara, he says that every one of these individuals mentioned in this Gemara has a good reason not to have to learn Torah. He says, an Ani could say that the Gemara says, Oysa tzedakah b'chalois, who is considered somebody who does tzedakah all the time? Zazon banav upa noisav, somebody who supports his family. So the Ani could say, I was busy supporting my family, and I was busy with that, so I didn't have time to do Aveira anyway. Well, that's why I should be excused from having to have to learn Torah. Dasher could say that I should be excused from learning Torah because I gave tzedakah and I supported Torah learning, and therefore I should be excused from learning. The Rasha could say that isn't the entire purpose of learning Torah not to do Averis? And therefore, as long as I don't do Averis, I don't have to learn Torah. It teaches us the Gemara that even though, says the Shalah, each one of these individuals could claim an excuse why he need not learn Torah, their excuse will not be accepted. And begins the Gemara in describing what who we're talking about. Lo'ani, to the poor person, Oymrim, they say, and I saw that the Inyan Yaakov points out that why from the three individuals is the first person mentioned is the Oni, says the Inyan Yaakov, because what the Gemara is teaching us is that usually wealthy people are the people who are treated more preferentially. And here the Gemara is showing us that they're not to be treated preferentially, that the first person is mentioned is the Ani. So they tell the poor person, why did you learn Torah? Im Omer, if he says, Ani hayisi v'tarad b'parnasasi, I was poor and I was busy earning a livelihood. I'm like, Klum Ani hayisi yosim Hillel. You weren't poorer than Hillel. And this explains the Gemara. Amar lav al Hillel Zakeh, and they said about Hillel, Shebechol yoyim v'yoyim, haya oysa umestap b'tarpik. Every day he earned just a tarpik. Chetzya haynois l'shem beis ha-medrash. Half of that tarpik he would give to the person who was the shomer of the Beis HaMedrash. Why did they have to give a half a tarpik to the person who watched the Beis HaMedrash? I saw a number of pshatim. In those times, the Batei Medrash were outside of the city, and therefore they had to have a watchman. Another pshat is, even if it was in the city, at night, people sat and learned at night, so they needed a watchman at night. Another pshat I saw is that the shul had needs that had to be taken care of. Another pshat I saw is that the Gemara Masechta the Brachos says that did not allow anybody into the shul who was not toichai kabaroi. He had to be sincere. And this shomer was the person who had that job. I also saw that Rav Sol Salanta said that obviously a half a tarpik is not a lot of money, because he says it's hard to believe that the person who was the shomer of the Beis HaMedrash was a wealthy person. It's not considered a very wealthy position. So we can only, he says, begin to imagine how little Hillel earned. So Chetzya, half of what he earned, he gave to the Shomer Beis HaMedrash. Chetzya uchanososo lepanas shebeis. The other half he gave for his family. And Mefarshim asked the question that the Gemara says that how mevazbez ayivazbez yoyse mechaimish, that a person when he gives tzedaka should not give more than 20%. And here we find that Hillel was giving more than 50% away to tzedaka. So the Chafetz Chaim in the Sefer Likutei Halachos says that that's true. When it comes to giving tzedaka, one should not give more than 20%. But here, it's for learning Torah. And for learning Torah, there is no limit. Everybody has to learn Torah, and everybody has to spend whatever is necessary to be able to learn Torah. And in fact, I saw Rabbi Yoshev compares this. He says, just like if someone has Baruch Hashem a Bechor, and he has to make a Pinyan Haben, and let's say the Chomis Sloim that he has to spend on the Pinyan Haben is more than 20% of what he earns, would that excuse him from making a Pinyan Haben? Of course not. He's obligated to make a Pinyan Haben. Says Rabbi Yoshev, our obligation to learn is like the obligation that we have to make a Pinyan Haben, and there are no excuses. I did see, however, that the Bi'a Halacha says that it makes a difference what kind of lifestyle you live. If you live a lifestyle where you need more, so then you shouldn't give away all your money for tzedakah. But if you don't live that kind of a lifestyle, and you could afford to give away more than 20%, and it wouldn't affect your ability to live, like Hillel, his entire life was just to learn, for that, you're allowed to spend more than 20%. Continues the Gemara. Pamachas lemot l'staker. One day he couldn't find a job. So they did not allow him into the yeshiva. All of Anitma Yoshua Piaruba. So he went and he lay down on the skylight to hear what Kadesh Yishma Dirail Kimchan Pishmay of Talyum, in order to be able to hear the Shir of Shmay of Talyum. Omru Oysa Yoim Erev Shabbos Hoya. That day was Erev Shabbos. Tkufas Tavis Hoysa, and was in the Tkufas Tavis. Vyaral of Shalom Neshmayim, and it was snowing. Kshaola Mura Shachar, and when the Mura Shachar came up, Amlo Shmayel Avtalion, Shmayel said to Avtalion, Avtalion Ochi, B'cho Yoim Habayis Meir. Every day the entire Bismarish is all illuminated from the skylight. V'yoim Ophel, and today it's all dark. Shema Yoim Emunimhu, is it a cloudy day? Hitzitzu Einayim, they looked up at the skylight. V'rod Mus Odom Baruba, they saw the shape of a person on the skylight. Olu matzah olav rum shalosh amos shalek. They found in him 3 amos of snow on top of Hillel. Perkua v'chitzu v'sichua. They took him down. V'shivu k'negad m'dur. They put him next to the fire to warm up. Amar roi zel chal olavus haShabbos. Yilad be mechal Shabbos for him. So the Mefarshim, of course, ask, isn't there a obligation to be Mechal Shabbos for anyone in a situation when he is B'sakana? So what's Roy Zel Chol of Shabbos? So one shot is that you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos when what you're doing may not be of any use. Here they said, we're convinced that he'll be okay. Another pshat that the Mefarshim say is that if somebody has a self-inflicted wound, you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. Hillel did a self-inflicted wound, laying down on the skylight in the winter. But since he did it out of his great love for Torah, we're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos on his behalf. Continues the Gemara. Usher, if somebody's wealthy, I'm lo neymar lo yisak to the Torah, why didn't you learn Torah? In Maimer, if he says, Usher Yisi, Torah Yisi ben Chasai, I was very wealthy, and therefore I was busy with my assets. I'm like klum asha yisa yaisim or beleza. You weren't wealthy in Rabbeleza ben Charsim. I'm like Rabbeleza ben Charsim. They said regarding Rabbeleza ben Charsim, Shaniach loy aviv, that his father left to him, elef ayars piyabasha, 1,000 cities on dry land, connect them elef finis piyam and 1,000 boats. B'chol yoyim noitel na'oy shal kemach ha'ksefoy. Every day he would just take a jug of flour. Umhalach me'ir le'ir umdina medina. He would go from city to city. Lil moy toyer. Pamachas matzo avodav. Once he was found by his servants, who didn't recognize him. Vosu ben-Gurion, they wanted to make him work. Amle b'mekashu mechem. So he asked him, I beg of you, hanichuni ve'elach lil moy toyer. Leave me, give me the chance to go learn toyer. Amle chayi rebelez b'charsim she'em menichin ha'isach. They made a shoe in the name of Rebelez b'charsim that we won't let you go. V'yamav l'holach v'roi ha'isam. He never, his workers never met him. El yoshev v'oisiv b'torah kol yom kol laila. He sat and learned Torah all day and all night. So I saw that the Mefarshim asked, why didn't he just identify himself as being Rebbe Elazar ben Charsim? And if he would identify himself as being Rebbe Elazar ben Charsim, they would obviously not, they would let him go. So I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat I saw is that he didn't want to use the Kesser Torah. He didn't want to use the fact that he's a Talmid Chacham to get out of having to work. One pshat that I saw. Another pshat that I saw is that he didn't want to identify himself because he didn't want the people who worked for him actually ever to know who he is. Because he was concerned if they'll ever get to know who he is, then they'll be able to bother him. And he didn't want to ever be bothered. So that's why he didn't identify himself, even though it would have been an easy way for him to get off the hook, so to speak. Another pshat that I saw is that he didn't identify himself because he knew that they wouldn't believe him anyway if he said that he was Rebbe Elazar ben Charsim. And that's why he didn't identify himself. The last pshat that I saw is that he didn't want to be Mevatel Torah. And getting into this conversation back and forth would have been bittul Torah. Continues the Gemara. Rasha and Maloi. Neymaloi sakim Torah. To Rasha they say, why didn't you learn Torah? And Mama Naya Yisi retired b'Yitzri. I was very beautiful. I was busy with my Yitzhara. I'm not Klum Noha Yisa Yosef. You weren't any more beautiful than Yosef. I'm not about Yosef. Tzadik said regarding Yosef. Every day she would try to seduce him. B'dvarim, begodim shalav shalay b'shachris, the clothing she would give him in the morning. Lelav shalay arvus, begodim shalav shalay arvus, the clothing she gave him in the evening. Lelav shalay shachris, she didn't give him in the morning. Amrla yishamali agreed to have relations with me. Amrla Yosef said lav. Amrla yharenin chavshecha v'beis asurim, I'll imprison you. Amrla Hashem mate asurim. Hareni kaifav kamascha, I will cause you to become broken by hitting you and giving you makis. So Yosef said, Hashem zorki kufim. She said, Areni misama es einecha, I'll blind you. And Yosef says, Hashem kech ivrim. Nasla elav tikri zav l'shmaila. She wanted to give him a tremendous fortune that he should have relations with her. Lishkev etzla liyasima, that he should have relations with her. L'irotz l'shmaila, lishkev etzla b'ayim hazeh. So I saw Nimtza Shehil Mechayiv is Aniyim. Hillel is Mechayiv poor people to learn Torah. Reb Lev Mechasim Mechayiv is Ashirim, obligates the wealthy people to learn Torah. The Yosef Mechayiv is Rishoyim, and Yosef obligates the wealthy people to learn Torah. In fact, I saw, we say every day, Rabbis Machshavis Belev Ish, Vatzas Hashem Hi Sokum. He stands for Hillel Yosef Elazar. Atzas Hashem Hisokim. We should do the Atzas Hashem. We learning from these individuals that our Gemara just mentioned, she learned Torah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take of our needs. I saw the Mefarshim ask the question, where in our Gemara do we see that Yosef learned Torah? The Gemara is very clear that Hillel learned Torah. The Gemara is very clear that Rav Lozman Charsim learned Torah. But where do we see in our Gemara that Hillel learned Torah, that the Gemara wants to say that that's a raya, how everybody, even a Rasha, is obligated to learn Torah? So they saw the Mefarshim say a very powerful vort. They say there is no way that somebody like Yosef or anyone would be able to prevail over the nisyonis that he had if not he learned Torah. Only through Torah can we prevail over the nisyonis. But then I saw that Rav Chaim Shmulevitz also says a very beautiful and powerful word. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz asks that Hillel, Rav Elazar ben Charsim, Yosef, they were great people. They could indeed overcome all challenges and learn Torah. But what does that have to do with us? We're not on that level. Says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, what we learn from our Gemara is that not only will we have to give din v'cheshbin for what we couldn't have done, what we could have done and didn't do, but we're also going to have to give, he says, din v'cheshbin. We're also going to have to give din v'cheshbin. Why didn't we end up being a Hillel? And why didn't we end up being a Rav Elazar ben Charsim? And why didn't we end up being a Yosef? Everybody has a tremendous potential, and we're going to have to give din v'cheshbin why we didn't reach our potential. And if we look in the Shulchan Aruch, Yoredeya, Simen Resh Mem Vav. The Shulchan Aruch in Simen Resh Mem Vav, Hilchas Talmud Torah, begins. And it's really based on our Gemara. The Shulchan Aruch says, Kol Ish B'Yisrael Chai B'Talmud Torah. Every Jew is obligated to learn Torah. Ben Oni Ben Asher, whether he's wealthy, whether he's poor or wealthy, Ben Shalom B'Gufay, Ben Bal Yisurim, whether he's healthy or he's not, Ben Bocher, Ben Zochin Gobel, whether he's young or old, Afila Oni Amachsa Apsochin, even a person who is so poor that he has to go collect for a livelihood, Afila Bal Yishubonim, somebody has a family who he must support, Chayiv L'Kvoy Lo Yizma L'Lam Atayra, is obligated to find the time to learn Torah, B'Yoyim U'Belayla, The pasuk says, "Vagisa b'yoyim v'layla." We have to learn Torah. U'b'shas atchak says Rama, "Afilu loykar rak krish mashachas v'arva loyomesh mikicha kriinabei." In a pinch, you could fulfill your obligation just by saying Krishna in the morning and the evening, and continues the Shulchan Aruch. But if somebody can't learn because he doesn't know how to learn, if somebody really, really can't learn, he should at least support those that learn. And that will be considered as if he learned himself, says Rama. And then Rama continues, a person could make an arrangement with someone else, that individual will learn, and he'll support him, and they'll divide the schar. However, says the Rama, if the person already learned, that kind of arrangement, says the Rama, could only be made into the future, not into the past. You can't sell what was learned already. And the Mashal here says, if a person lives in a city where he doesn't have the opportunity to learn Torah, where there are no Sfarim, no Shiurim, he should move to a different city, even if his parents live in that city where he is, and they'll be upset that he's leaving. Still, in our Shah Paskins, the importance of learning Torah, as we learn in our, as we were learning our Shir, supersedes that consideration. The Paiskim also continue in saying that this is not just for a person who works for a living. If somebody learns for a living, he's a Kohel Yungaman, or he's a Dayan, or he's a Rebbe in a Yeshiva, says the Birka Yosef, if he doesn't get paid for that work, then indeed, says the Birka Yosef, that could be considered learning time. But if he gets paid for those jobs, so that learning time is that time can't be considered learning time. And he has to, like every balabas, also establish and identify a time every day when he learns just for the sake of learning. The Shulchan Aruch here, it's worthwhile to learn through that whole siman of Hilchas Talmud Torah. But one more siv in Sif Yotes, the Shulchan Aruch says, Tchilas Dina Shel Adam, the first thing a person will be asked after he leaves the world is of Talmud Torah. V'akach, only afterwards will he be asked al Shar Masav on everything that he did in this world. And actually, there's a very famous Tosis in Masechet Sanhedrin, Dav Zayin Amud Aleph, Divrei Maskil Ella, says that the Gemara there says, as the Shulchan Aruch here quotes, the Tchilas Tirai Shel Adam, that the first question a person is asked after he leaves the world is Al Divrei Torah, that he's asked the first question about learning. Yet there's another Gemara Masechet Shabbos, that says the first question the person asked is Nasata v'Nasata Bamuna. Did you act honestly? And then they ask Kvati Itil Matira. So Taisva gives two Turutsim. One Teretz Taisva says that if somebody learned Torah, but he wasn't Kovei Itim, as we're going to discuss, there's a separate obligation. Besides the obligation to learn, there's an obligation to be Kovei Itim, to have a set time put away when you learn every day. So if you have a person that did learn every day, Baruch Hashem, but he wasn't Kovei Itim, that since he learned, the first question that he will be asked will be Nosatav Nosat Bamuna. Whereas, Taisha says, that if somebody doesn't learn at all, such an individual will be asked first Kvati Itim Matayra. Another Teretz, Taisva says, the first question that a person will be asked is Nosatav and Nosatav Amunah. Were you honest? But when it comes to giving din, when the Eibishter is going to reward us or punish us, then the first thing will be regarding Torah. And of course, all the Mefarshim ask the question. It shouldn't be consistent. Whatever should be the first question should be the first din. So if the first question is Nesatav Nesatav Amunah, that should also be the first din, and vice versa. So the Mepharshim say that if a person learns, it has a tremendous impact on every aspect of his life. So indeed, the first question that he's asked is Nesatav Nesatav Amunah. But if he wasn't Nesatav Nesatav Amunah, if he wasn't as honest as he should have been in his transactions, why wasn't he as honest as he should have been in his transaction? The answer was because he didn't learn. And that's why when it comes to giving schar va'oinish, the schar va'oinish is on Talmud Torah first. Another pshat that I saw is that Nusata v'Nusata Bamuna is in Divrei Torah. A person, when he learns, is also supposed to learn in an honest fashion. So yes, Nusata v'Nusata Bamuna is another way of saying Kvati Itim Torah. And the last pshat that I saw is that Every person, when he leaves the world, as we've been discussing, has to give din v'cheshbon. This is the Meiri's pshat. But he also has to give din v'cheshbon every night. So every night when the person's neshama comes to the Olam HaEmes, and the first question he's asked is Kvat Itul Mutara. Because what should a Jew spend his days with? A Jew should spend his days with learning. Lach Meiv Esrim, when he's not able to learn Torah anymore, anyway, then the first question is, Nasata v'Nasata b'Amunah.